This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined as always on Thursdays by Matt Eumanns. We will actually be joined by another handicapper later on in the podcast. Brad Powers will pop on to give us his thoughts on the college football playoff and some bowl games as well. But we keep rolling on Thursdays with Mr. Eumanns, who got to cash a little Fernando Mendoza Heisman Trophy ticket. Do you want to sing Fernando by ABBA like Wes Reynolds did on Wednesday, Matt?
I mean, I want to, but I have no singing talent and I don't know the words. So that's a problem, Tim. So no, I'm not going to be able to do that. And by the way, Fernando Mendoza won that pretty comfortably. I was disappointed in one thing. I was disappointed in the way you reacted, Tim. You and Diego Pavia reacted at the club that night.
I mean, I just bleep them voters, man. They screwed over Jeremiah Love, the most talented player in college football. Bleep them voters, you know. Diego Pavia will get one final game in college football later on in the holiday season. We can get to that after Christmas, but we got four playoff games. They are finally here, Matt. No more nonsense about who should be in, who should be out. No more nonsense of G5 teams not deserving. We're going to play some football games and we're going to handicap some football games. So let's start with the game on Friday night. Both you and I have small bets on Alabama here, and the market is moving a bit against Alabama. No key numbers, but Oklahoma has flipped to the favorite, 1.5, depending on where you look. We've seen a little bit of over money come into the market on Thursday as well, as this total has crept up to 41.5, Matt. What's your take on this one, and are you still sticking with the Crimson Tide?
The total's a little bit too low for me to play it. I would lean under, but I don't want to play under that number. I'm sticking with the Crimson Tide, but I'll say this. I like the play. I don't love it. And to me, it feels a lot like where it's lined, sort of a coin flip. And I think it could come down to, which quarterback makes a big mistake. Again, I prefer to side with the team that lost the first meeting when that team was a home favorite. And that's a Crimson Tide. You know, we saw a similar situation play out in the NFL last weekend when the Bills, who lost the first game against the Patriots as home favorites, went back to Foxborough and got revenge. And I'm thinking there's a decent chance the Tide get revenge in this game. Look, they played their best games in the middle of the season, that four-week stretch when they beat Georgia between the hedges, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Tennessee. Since then, I think Crimson Tide have been a pretty mediocre team, and they have not been able to run the ball very effectively. In that 23-21 win that Oklahoma had in Tuscaloosa, Ty Simpson actually passed for 326 yards, and Alabama put up 406 total yards, because we keep hearing about the Oklahoma lockdown defense, and that defense is legit, but the Tide was able to move the ball in that first matchup and outgained Oklahoma by almost 200 yards. Look, I bet Georgia against Alabama in the SEC title game. I'm going to flip here and roll with the Tide. I think the revenge angle means a little bit more to me, and I think you'll see Alabama play much better than it did against Georgia in the conference championship game. But like I said, Tim, and I think you have similar feelings, I like this play. I don't love it.
Yeah, it's funny because I think back to the SEC championship. You and I had that common play on Georgia, and I was doing the tailgate show on VSiN. The market was coming in on Alabama. You heard some opinions that I respect on Alabama, and I was like, I don't understand this. And right, then Georgia goes out and pulverizes them. The health is a big concern here for Alabama. You know, Ryan Grubb met with the media, offensive coordinator for Bama, earlier this week, and he said, Jam Miller's just fine. Josh Quavis is going to play. Ty Simpson's going to be just fine. What is he supposed to say? Is he supposed to tip his hand and be like, oh, Ty Simpson, he's dealing with a lot right now. He's not going to play in this game. He's 50% at best. So, I don't know if you could take too much from what the offensive coordinator of Alabama is saying, but if they're healthy, I like Alabama. But if Ty Simpson's still dealing with some nagging injuries, if Jam Miller's not ultra productive, look, both of these offenses, you hit it right, have not played well down the stretch. Well, Oklahoma really hasn't played well all season, I would say, at least since John Mateer hurt his hand in the Auburn game. You know, it's funny, you look back at some of the games that Oklahoma played in, Matt. You know, they were outgained by Alabama by 194 yards, outgained by Tennessee by 105 yards, outgained by Ole Miss by 72 yards, held to under 300 yards of offense against Texas. Like, what are we going to get from this Oklahoma offense against Alabama, which is a good defense, I would say, you know, probably a top 10 to 15 defense when you look at some of the numbers. So I think for the health standpoint, that's my concern. Josh Cuevas had 6 catches for 80 yards in the loss against Oklahoma back on November 15th in Tuscaloosa. And we also talk about, too, you know, the line, right? How much has this moved? And I understand why people are taking the over, because this total was 46.5 when they played in the middle of November, and it was in the high 30s for a good stretch of the week. Now you're starting to see some, you know, over money come in. The spread was also 6.5. Now, I think the atmosphere is going to be top notch down there in Norman, Oklahoma. Certainly, maybe that is something to look on Oklahoma on that side. You know, last thing I'll say about this game, Matt, and I share the same sentiments. I bet Alabama. I haven't gone off of it yet, but I haven't doubled down. I like Alabama. Don't love it. It will be an official play on the podcast. Is Kalen DeBoer's success in the postseason something we should look at, whether it was, you know, at previous stops when he was, you know, in the, you know, Division II ranks, or, you know, when he had that run with Washington? Or, Matt, Brent Venables is now 2-0 as a head coach against Kalen DeBoer, dominated them last year in Norman, that really the game that kept Oklahoma or Alabama out of the playoff, and then earlier this year. Is there something to be said about Brent Venables in the two-game window or two-game limited sample that he's had success against Kalen DeBoer?
I mean, that's a good question, actually. I think DeBoer might have a bit of an edge he can exploit in terms of being, you know, more experienced as a head coach in playoff type games. But obviously Venables has a pretty good handle on how to defend Kalen DeBoer's offenses and Ryan Grubb's offenses. So I don't know if there's anything there that really tilts me one way or another as a handicapper. I'll say that Venables lost his bowl game last year to Navy, and that was a pathetic performance by the Oklahoma defense, but that's a much different style Navy offense than what Oklahoma is going to be facing here, right? So I don't think any of that stuff really matters that much, but you could be right. The Venables has a pretty good read on how to defend this Alabama offense.
Bill Conley is someone I reference a lot with his numbers, SP Plus. He put out on Twitter, Matt, that the Oklahoma win over Alabama was the 5th least likely win of the entire college football season.
Really?
He gave Alabama a 95% postgame win expectancy in that game. And of course, Oklahoma wins that game. And that's the reason that we have this rematch. That win is the reason we are here right now. Oklahoma doesn't get in the playoff if they lose that game. So I think the atmosphere is going to be incredible. I do have a small bet on Alabama. We gave it out last week. And as of now, not going to get off of it. The game that, to me, Matt, when the bracket came out last Sunday, that I said, man, that's the most appetizing first round game, is Miami heading to College Station. This game will be noon Eastern on ABC. And right now, Miami, about a 3.5 point underdog. We've seen under money come into the market, so I feel good from giving out the under last week on the podcast at 51.5, now down to 48 or 48.5. What do you make of this spot? Is this a live dog in the Canes on the road at Kyle Field on Saturday?
Tim, I believe the first thing you said when that matchup came out was not, well, wow, this is a great matchup. It was bleeping idiots on the committee. I can't believe they left Notre Dame out of the playoff. Anyway, you know, when these first four teams we're talking about here, Alabama, Oklahoma, Miami, Texas A&M, you could question the credentials of all four teams being in the playoff and say, hey, maybe Notre Dame, Vanderbilt, BYU, Texas are more deserving. I don't know. I don't want to get into those debates anymore, but I'll tell you what, this would be a great 16-team playoff if we could have had it. Seeded 1 through 16 with no byes would have been ideal. So if you look out at DraftKings, Caesars, Will Hill, BetMGM, a couple other spots. FanDuel, I'm seeing 3.5 on this game. You got a 3.5, you might have to pay 115. But I'm going to play Miami. And after reading a lot about this game and talking to a couple people, I've been pushed a little harder to the Hurricanes side. I was leaning that way. Now I'm going to take it. I'm taking Miami plus 3.5 here. And I felt like A&M's a bit of a fraud this season. I've been proven wrong in a couple of spots, Tim, especially in the Missouri game, if I remember correctly. But I did bet Texas against Texas A&M in the finale, and the Longhorns really did a great job of keeping Marcel Reese and that Aggies offense under wraps. And I think the Miami defense has got plenty of speed. They can contain the edges. They're not going to have a problem with mobile quarterbacks. I was impressed by the way the Hurricanes played against Pitt late in the season, not to sound like a doofus on the committee. But I thought the Hurricanes showed something, actually, in that road win. And, yes, I'm concerned about Mario Cristobal making a game management blunder. But on the opposite side, I actually don't think Mike Elko is any sort of genius in that category. And am I concerned about Carson Beck making a big mistake to blow the game in the fourth quarter? Yes. But I think Miami defense is going to be the deciding factor in this game. And that defense's ability to control Marcel Reese and a mobile quarterback. And, Tim, when you look at A&M's resume, I know you know this off the top of your head, but I'll repeat it one more time because it's, I think, going to be surprising to a lot of people who haven't paid that close of attention. A&M and the SEC was able to avoid Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. The conference record of the SEC opponents that A&M beat this season, 12-43. All right, so I am going to get on Miami as a road dog here. And also, I think it helps the Canes a little bit that this is an early kickoff and not a night game in College Station.
Yeah, it is pretty wild when you look at it, because you think back to last year and the discussion about Indiana. Now, the difference between Indiana's schedule and Texas A&M's schedule, A&M did go on the road and play Notre Dame, and they beat Notre Dame. Bit of a controversial finish, but still, they got the victory 41-40. Yeah, the lone team they played with an above 500 record in the SEC was Texas, and they lost that game in the regular season finale. No other team that you pointed out that they played had a winning record in conference play this year. So, you know, certainly worth noting there in the win at Missouri. I think Bo Pribulik tried to come back, but he was not healthy in that game. You know, just from a health standpoint, Miami should be getting back Keontae Scott, a defensive back. I think that's going to be a nice addition. I love my position where I'm at from a number standpoint on the under. If you haven't played it yet, I talked about this with Wes. Maybe you look at a first half under with that early start, 11 a.m. local kick down there. Look, there's some badass playmakers in this game on both sides. When you look at defense, Matt, Cassius Howell, 11.5 sacks for Texas A&M. Reuben Bain Jr., maybe in the discussion for the number one overall pick. This is going to be the best offensive line he's gone up against all year. And I think, you know, for Reuben Bain, if you're talking about number one overall pick and how that ultimately plays out or how high he'll be drafted, you know, this could go a long way. If he has his way against this Texas A&M front, certainly could be impressive. Malachi Toney, such a special player for Miami. I wouldn't be surprised, Matt, if he throws the ball on Saturday, if they have a little bit of a gadget play down there. And then Casey Concepcion, great punt returner, special player out wide. I think it comes down to the quarterbacks, right? Who makes mistakes? You mentioned this about Oklahoma and Alabama, and maybe it's too simplistic, but if Carson Beck can avoid making mistakes and he can play like he played against Notre Dame in week one or Pittsburgh in the regular season finale, I think Miami wins this game. I don't have a bet on this game from a side standpoint. Like I mentioned, do have an under look at 51.5 from last week. Numbers come down to 48.5. Probably would look maybe first half under as well at this point. Right now, looking at the market and where we're at from a first half number, this sits at, you know, 24.5, 24, somewhere in that ballpark. So I still would look a little bit towards the under in the first half, Matt, but no play on the side for me. But, you know, let me ask you this regarding these two teams. If Miami wins, do they pose a threat, a big threat to Ohio State in the quarterfinals?
Well, he certainly posed a threat. I don't know how big of a threat. Let's wait and see, you know, how well the winner of this game plays. I mean, if Miami goes up there and wins by double digits, I'm going to say, yeah. Because, Tim, it's almost like an NCAA tournament situation where or a conference tournament situation, sorry. The conference tournaments. Remember when we talked about this a lot during March, when a team gets a win in the conference tournament and then advances to face a team that had to bye, and you feel like the team that got the win it's got some momentum, right? They're on a roll. They got some confidence. And the team that's just been sitting around waiting to play, it might be at a disadvantage. And we saw that play out last year with Ohio State and Oregon, where the Ducks had to bye. Ohio State gets a first-round win. Looks great doing so, right, after the loss to Michigan. Blows out Tennessee, then goes to face an Oregon team that had to bye. And the Buckeyes blow out the Ducks, just embarrassed them in the first half of that game. So sometimes I think the bye can be a bit of a disadvantage as far as that goes. Now it's shoes on the other foot. The Buckeyes are sitting around waiting for the winner of this game. So, yeah, I'm going to say the winner of this game is going to be a pretty big threat to the Buckeyes.
All right, Matt. Well, the first of the two games involving a Group of Five team is at 3:30. This game will be on TNT. We've got Ole Miss taking on Tulane, the winner of the American. These two teams played back on September 20th. The point spread closed Mississippi, Ole Miss -12, and they won the game 45-10. They outgained Tulane 548-282. Market has been kind of hanging out at 17 and a half, Matt, on this game. The big storyline is the obvious one. Lane Kiffin, he became the first coach to leave a playoff team in the midst of the playoff. It only took 2 years, and we got it. So no Lane Kiffin. The rest of the staff remains intact. Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator, is back to help out for the playoff run. Pete Golding, the D coordinator, got promoted to the head coaching position. Also worth noting, John Summerall, he is leaving as well. He's the Florida coach, but he is remaining to coach this playoff game. Can you make a case for the dog in this one, Matt, with Tulane catching 17 or 17 and a half?
I can always make a case for the dog, but I'm not going to try to here. Tim, in that first meeting, you probably remember a little bit better what happened. Jake Retzlaff either got knocked out of that game with an injury or he got benched, right? What was the scenario in that first game?
5 of 17 in the game for,
right?
Yeah, 5 of 17 for 56 yards in it.
Yeah, I couldn't recall if he got injured during the game or he got benched because he's playing poorly, but the numbers were pretty bad in that game. I'm not going to bet this one. If I did, I would probably lay the points with the Rebels. I think you're going to get a team playing with great energy and focus because they're going to want to show the world that, hey, we don't need Lane Kiffin. We can win without this guy. The coaches and the players all got something to prove here. So I lean Ole Miss if you're going to play it. But I'm also going to be looking to bet against Ole Miss in the next game against Georgia. So that's what I'm looking for here.
Matt, I did a radio spot earlier today with my buddy Scott Jackson down in Norfolk. And I said, I hope that Ole Miss wins 59-0. And here's why. Because I want a suppress number for the Sugar Bowl against Georgia. And I think Georgia, despite teams last year off a bye, and you remember, Georgia was off a bye and they lost to Notre Dame down there in New Orleans. I think Georgia is going to be licking their chops. And you got to ask the question, how is Pete Golding going to do making the adjustments after coaching a game in that new role? So I think that's all fair to ask. I thought Wes made a really good angle on the first half yesterday on the podcast. He laid 9.5 in the first half with Ole Miss. I think I'm going to tail him on that play because I think you're going to see an Ole Miss team, Matt, and you pointed it out, that is going to be inspired, going to say, you know, like Diego Pavia, instead of bleep them voters, you know, bleep Lane Kiffin, right? You know, we don't need him. And I think you're going to get a really strong effort. Tulane, by the way, if you just look at the stats, they are the worst defense in the field of 12 here. So you look at an Ole Miss team, Matt, in that first game, these were their possessions in the first half. 8 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. 15 plays, 70 yards, field goal. 7 plays, 34 yards, field goal. 6 plays, 72 yards, touchdown. 8 plays, 62 yards, field goal. They had 5 drives, and they scored 5 on all 5 of them. So I think Ole Miss, with Charlie Weiss Jr. back, I think they should have some success offensively. Not going to be an official play, but I think ultimately I'll lay a little 9.5 in the first half with Ole Miss and hope that they win big, to your point, Matt, and maybe we can fade them against Georgia. Last one, Matt, the primetime game on Saturday night. Our colleague Stormy Bonantoni, she'll be on the sidelines for this one up in Autzen Stadium, Oregon. A 21-point favorite. You can lay a juiced 20.5 if you do like the favorite. Taking on the winners of the Sun Belt, the James Madison Dukes. This game will be on TNT.
Yeah, I think actually what you and Wes have talked about with that first half bet, you could do this with Ole Miss. I think you could do it with Oregon, too. Maybe instead of laying the 20.5 or 21 out there with the Ducks, I might split a unit here and bet some on the first half and some on the game, just to guard a little bit against the back door, even though I don't think Dan Lanning is going to let the Dukes in the back door if they get a big lead. But I think Oregon's going to make a statement in this playoff, and it's probably going to start in this first game. Again, this is my pick to win the college football playoff. Similar to last year when Ohio State missed the Big Ten championship game and then came out like a bat out of hell in the playoffs, and the Buckeyes just stormed through 4 opponents. Actually had to struggle with Notre Dame a little bit in the championship game. But Buckeyes obviously benefited from not playing in the Big Ten championship game and embarrassed the Ducks and rolled through the playoffs. Well, I think the Ducks want some redemption from what happened last year. I like this coaching, Dan Lanning's coaching staff quite a bit. And I think Dante Moore is good enough to get it done. As far as this game, like I said, I might bet a little on the first half, a little on the game. I have not done that yet, but I did play Oregon 8-1 to win the college football playoff.
Yeah, we talked about this game last week, and the number in the market at the time was 21.5. I've said all along, I laid 21. I was a bit surprised to see the money come back in on JMU here to scoop up that hook. You know, but I think the point that you make about the back door, and this is an Oregon team that's been dealing with injuries on the offensive line. The wide receiver position has been well documented with the injuries to freshmen's DeCorian Moore and Gary Bryant. Evan Stewart has not played all year. Could potentially make his return for this game, probably more likely in the quarterfinal against Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. I am just not necessarily of the belief, Matt, that this is a spot where Oregon is overlooking anybody. They lost and got humiliated in the playoff a year ago. They were down 34-0 in the Rose Bowl. Yep. So I think Dan Lanning, and you pointed this out, Dan Lanning's a bully, right? We talk about Cignetti being a bully. Dan Lanning's a bully. When you look at some of the spots, whether it be the Colorado game a couple years ago or the Fiesta Bowl against Liberty when they went down 6-0 and won 42-6, or earlier this year against Oklahoma State when Mike Gundy was talking smack and they won 69-3, I think this is an Oregon team that's going to be out for blood in this one. And, you know, it's no knock on James Madison. I think they're more than a capable G5 program. And Bob Chesney is moving on to UCLA. And I think he'll do well there. Obviously, we saw Kirk Cignetti and what he's been able to do at Indiana after leaving James Madison. This is a really good program. They've got a top-notch running back in Wayne Knight. But Matt, my question is James Madison, Matt, going to be able to do what they want to do, which is hold the ball? They are 3rd in the country in time of possession. And I kind of equate this to when, you know, Navy or Army plays a big time program. And if they go 3 and out on their opening drive, it's going to be a long night. And I do wonder if James Madison's going to be able to have success on the ground, because that's, to me, the recipe to a victory. I don't think their wide receivers can really do much against this Oregon secondary. Our guy, Brett Ciancio over at Pick 6 Plus, rates this secondary based off of, you know, adjusted per play metrics as the top secondary in the country. So I think Oregon wins this game. Yeah, when you lay a big number, do you have to guard on the back door? Sure, but I laid 21, and I still believe that 21 is achievable here for Oregon. So that is a best bet for me, Oregon laying the 21, but you know, maybe I'll take a little bit of first half as well, Matt, just in case this is a situation where Oregon, with Texas Tech waiting on deck, does take their foot off the gas a little bit.
Could happen. Nothing to add there. I think we talked enough about that game.
All right, Matt, before we get out of here, we're going to have Brad Powers join us in a little bit. You know, market's moving like crazy. I did want to talk a bit about the Hawaii Bowl. You will be out there. I was joking with a buddy of mine when I told him that I bet Hawaii at open. He said, yeah, that's the biggest no-brainer of the entire bowl season. And I said, yeah, you know, I give Hawaii about a two-touchdown edge when they're at home, a home field advantage of two touchdowns. But this should be a fun one. You're going to be there watching the Hawaii Bowl. I'm curious your thoughts right now. Total 54.5, and we'll call it Cal -1.5 right now against Hawaii.
Tim, I know you're going to ask me this later today. You'll say, did you notice Circa dropped the total to 53 in this game? And you wonder why. I have no idea why. If you had some sharp money come in under, I don't know who's betting the under, but I'm not concerned about that. Just like I was not concerned about the sharp money showing up on Alabama the night before the Tide got whipped by Georgia in this SEC championship game. I bet first bet for me was Hawaii +3. You got the better number at 3.5. I think among the non-playoff bowls, this is about as good as it gets on Christmas Eve in Honolulu. I think the over is a little bit better bet for me. And like I said, if you play over 53 now, go ahead. I was going to bet this over 55. The total dropped to 54, so I went ahead and played over 54 on this game, and I got a pretty good bet on it. Both coaches were once prolific passers in a run-and-shoot offense. You talk about Nick Rolovich and Timmy Chang. And you think these guys are going to be conservative in this bowl game? Hell no. I don't see any reason they're going to be conservative. And you have the two quarterbacks who have Hawaiian ties, and they want to put on a show too. Jaron Kiave, Saga Patele, and Micah Alejado. All these guys, the two coaches, the two quarterbacks, they want to put on an offensive show on Christmas Eve. Saga Patele passed for 330 yards and 4 touchdowns when the Golden Bears beat SMU 38-35 in that regular season finale in Berkeley. Warriors went 6-1 at home this season, averaged 30.5 points in those games. This is a huge game for Timmy Chang and Hawaii. They love to be in this game. They want to make a statement. I actually feel like the total is a little bit better bet than the side, though. And Hawaii's had a couple of Hawaii's going to be missing a couple of key players. I don't think that's a big deal. But, Tim, it feels like the side's a little bit more of a coin flip. I feel like the better bet here is on this game being the shootout that's going to fly over the total, because both coaches and both quarterbacks, like I said, want to put on a show. So I'm saying over 54 is my better bet here.
Yeah, when you look at some of the records, and I rattled them off to Timmy Chang when he joined the podcast last week, whether it be his numbers or Colt Brennan's numbers. Colt Brennan threw for over 500 yards in a Hawaii Bowl. Or, you know, you just look at some of the numbers that were out there. It's outrageous. So, yeah, I think this game has the likelihood of being a shootout, knowing the ties that Nick Rolovich has. Nick Rolovich, by the way, the last game he coached as the head coach of the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors was a 38-34 win over BYU in the Hawaii Bowl back in 2019. So this is going to be a fun one. Timmy Chang, tremendous at home, 26-1 ATS since taking over at his alma mater as the head coach there. I'm excited for this one. And it's not just because we started the year, Matt, out on the island. But just a reminder, our friends over at Nohoku, Hawaii's finest jewelers, have been the sponsor of the Hawaii game each and every year here on the podcast. And as the holiday season arrives, Nohoku invites you to share the spirit of aloha with gifts that sparkle with meaning. For nearly 100 years, Nohoku has crafted an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island-like lifestyle jewelry inspired by the beauty, culture, and traditions of the islands. Nohoku designs are timeless, making them perfect for the holidays, from treasured keepsakes to meaningful milestones to gifts that capture the warmth and wonder of the season. With more than 30 locations across Hawaii and the mainland, you can see their entire collection at nohoku.com. Finding a piece of paradise has never been easier. NAHOKU.com. Mahalo to our friend Steve Bookatz and Nohoku for helping listeners celebrate the holidays with beauty, artistry, and the enduring spirit of aloha. Matt, I do have one more bet, and we've talked about it a little bit. And, you know, it's funny. Adam and I talked about the Old Dominion game, Old Dominion Bowl game against South Florida. Not going to be, I guess, technically official best bet winner, but we both gave out Old Dominion on the podcast. We felt like the motivation was going to be there. A game that we've discussed a little bit, and I'm curious to get your thoughts before we wrap up here, is the New Mexico Bowl on December 27th. This is San Diego State versus North Texas, and North Texas has a quarterback by the name of Drew Mestemaker. He is expected to go into the portal, according to multiple media reports. Not a surprise there. The question is he going to play? We don't know yet. Some reports say he is. Some reports say he's in the portal. He's not going to play. Where's he going to go? Is he going to follow his former coach to Oklahoma State? San Diego State right now, still a 3.5-point dog at FanDuel. I bet 3.5, Matt. I took a little money line as well on San Diego State. San Diego State is losing their defensive coordinator to Nebraska, but this is a team that you've witnessed in person multiple times this year. They can be quite stingy defensively. However, when they punched up in class against Hawaii, from a passing standpoint, they got lit up out on the island in the rain on that late Saturday night. So what do you make of this spot here? You've seen San Diego State in person multiple times. How do they fare against North Texas, a North Texas team that doesn't have their coach anymore and their stud quarterback could be hitting the portal? And we don't know about Caleb Hawkins, a couple of their wide receivers as well. So I'm betting on North Texas not being full strength when this game arrives on December 27th.
Yeah, I have not bet this yet. I've obviously considered playing San Diego State here, suspecting that Drew Mestemaker is not going to be on the field for this bowl game. With all the money that's up for grabs for quarterbacks in the portal, I can't imagine he would risk injury playing in this game. So I would bet that he's not going to be there. So I've thought about taking the 3.5 of the Aztecs. Haven't done it yet. San Diego State's weakness is definitely pass defense. They could shut down the run. The Aztecs can, but we saw Hawaii pick him apart with the pass. I think North Texas could probably do the same. That said, Mean Green's going to have probably a skeleton crew out there for this game, and Aztecs probably be playing to win. So I did not make this a best bet on the podcast because I have not bet it yet, but certainly a side I'm looking at. And Tim, I assume with Drew Mestemaker announces that he's not going to play in this game, this is going to go to a pick'em, or San Diego State's going to be a slight favorite, right?
Yeah. I mean, and look, that's betting bowl season. You're trying to beat the market on a move. And some reports out there said Mestemaker's not going to make his decision until after the bowl game. Okay. And maybe he plays for North Texas. Then we've got 3.5 in our back pocket with a I don't know. I don't know why he would play, but, you know, it's certainly a possibility. The opt-outs are plenty across the board. USC's got a bunch of opt-outs. Mekhi Lemon, he's declared for the NFL draft. Jacoby Lane, I believe, has opted out of that game. Yep. A bunch of their safeties as well. Missouri will be without their starting quarterback, Bo Pribula. He is headed in the portal again. So the Gator Bowl there on the 27th. Before we give a best bet recap, Matt, is there any other bowl game? We'll dive into them a little bit more extensively next week, but any other bowl game later on in the bowl season jumping out to you just from either an entertainment or a betting standpoint?
Well, I'll just talk about them from a betting standpoint because you hit on two of them there. I'm thinking about playing San Diego State. I'm thinking about playing TCU because I think all the opt-outs with USC is really going to strip down that offense. And you wonder if Lincoln Riley is going to put Jaden Maiava out there for all four quarters and risk injury in a game where he's got a bunch of guys sitting out. So we don't know yet how many guys are going to be out for USC, but it's pretty significant. And you got to think that's going to impact the team's mentality going into a bowl that's played in Texas and is going to mean more to TCU, I would think. And TCU is going to have majority of the fans there. It's going to be a bigger deal for TCU. So I'm certainly thinking about playing that one. I'm also thinking about playing Iowa in the under in the game against Diego Pavia and Vandy. And I think this Iowa defense is going to shut down little Diego and make it a tough day for him. I lean to the under a little bit. Hey, look, if Iowa can shut down or really control the Oregon offense and make it ugly, why can't Iowa do the same thing to Vandy? We saw Missouri do that to Vandy in the game in Nashville. I'm leaning under in that game and leaning Iowa Hawkeyes. But that's those are games on my radar right now. I have not bet yet.
We'll revisit those games when we reconvene after Christmas and talk about the quarterfinals, which all should be phenomenal based off of the way the bracket is lining up. Hey, before we get to our best bet recap, Matt, just a reminder, our friends over at Rainbow Authentics have been a sponsor all season long. We're a big reason we were out in Hawaii. And when we were out in Hawaii, Matt, we witnessed the start of the Tokyo Toe just incredible season. Kansei Matsuzawa, the consensus All-American, first one in school history. He was a Lou Groza Award finalist, and he's taking his precision and power to the closet with the Tokyo Toe apparel. Bold design, premium comfort, and 100% fan energy. Whether you're tailgating or tuned in, represent greatness. Visit TokyoToe.com. That's TokyoToe.com, and wear what winners wear. Matt, maybe we'll get you a Tokyo Toe shirt when you head out to the Hawaii Bowl in a couple weeks.
Let's put it this way. Actually, the Hawaii Bowl will be next week. But
yeah, next week.
I'll tell you, if he hits the game-winning field goal and Hawaii covers and this game goes over, okay, I'll take a Tokyo Toe shirt. Hell of a season by him. Great story, too. One of the best stories in college football.
All right, before we get out of here, Matt, let's hit a best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, lead us off. Couple of plays for you this weekend.
All right, let's see. 47, 34, and 3 on the season. Hopefully got a few winners here. Going Alabama, pick 'em. And we talked about this on the podcast last week. So Alabama pick. I've added Miami plus 3.5 against Texas A&M. Cal, Hawaii, over the total of 54. And Oregon, 8-1 to win the college football playoffs. Those are the four plays I got now. Obviously, we'll have some more when we do the podcast next week. Tim, with Christmas being on a Thursday, when are we going to do the podcast next week? On a Friday?
I think we're going to do it after that big Saturday weekend. So we'll kind of take off next week. We'll do Adam on Tuesday, and we'll get back together prior to the quarterfinals. Quick recap of my best bets. A bunch of the lines have moved from the best bets we gave out in the college football playoff betting guide. So on this podcast, we gave out last week under 51.5. Got closing line value there. Hopefully it comes home in Miami, Texas A&M. Oklahoma, Bama. We're going Bama pick in that game. We are going to lay 21 with Oregon. And I'm going to add San Diego State plus 3.5 against North Texas in the New Mexico Bowl. 46, 44, and 4 on the year. Matt, always appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Safe travels out to Hawaii. And we will reconvene before the quarterfinals.
Tim, Meli Kalikimaka to you and the listeners.
We'll take a quick break. Brad Powers, college football handicapper, will give us his thoughts on the four first-round games next.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right. All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We are joined by college football handicapper Brad Powers, who I would imagine, like many of us, will be sitting back watching bowl games. And if you want to listen to some bowl games, well, Coca-Cola Bowl Season Radio has you covered with live play-by-play of 20 bowl games, all airing on SiriusXM, the Varsity app, TuneIn, and radio stations across the country. Their upcoming schedule includes Thursday night's Xbox Bowl, 9 p.m. Eastern, Missouri State and Arkansas State. That'll be on SiriusXM Channel 84. A doubleheader on Friday starting at 11 a.m., the Myrtle Beach Bowl, followed by the Gasparilla Bowl. Both those games heard on XM 201, Kennesaw State, Western Michigan, Memphis, NC State. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl, yours truly, will be on the sidelines for that one on the Smurf Turf. That game will be heard on SiriusXM 201, Washington State, Utah State, and then the Frisco Bowl. That'll be on 9 p.m. on Tuesday, the 23rd, UNLV and Ohio. So tons of top markets, L.A., Seattle, Vegas, Orlando, D.C., San Francisco, to name a few. And as mentioned, every single game on SiriusXM. Follow them on Twitter at Bowl Season Radio. And follow this gentleman on Twitter at BradPower7. I imagine many of you already are doing so. Brad, before we jump into the playoff games, I am curious. I've asked this question to a number of people. I think I actually asked this to you on VSiN Primetime last week. For you, as someone who bets college football and has been doing it as long as you have, how have you attacked this year's bowl season from a betting standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I've still been active. I mean, you put up a line. I like to think that I know more than most. So, you know, I'm not afraid to bet. I got some awesome CLV on a few, but I've also guessed wrong on a few, too, and have had some negative CLV. Generally speaking, from a fan perspective, I'm not saying I'm totally checked out, but I have to be perfectly frank. This is the least, you know, enthusiastic I've been about a bowl lineup from a fan perspective. It's just nothing's really moving the needle for me. From a value perspective, certainly I think there's been some good value here and there. But if they said that we're doing away from the bowls and the G5 is going to have their own playoff, I would be for that, more for that now.
Yeah, I know that's been brought up. That's been people have thought about that as well. But who knows how this all plays out moving forward. But we do have playoff games and not going to be many opt-outs. Well, outside of a head coach, you know, like Lane Kiffin. But other than that, you know, everyone else is going to play. Let's go in chronological order. And we'll start with the Friday night game. Oklahoma taking on Alabama. We've seen a little bit on Thursday morning, a little over money come into the market here on this game as we're looking at 41.5 for a total. And the spread is flipped. Alabama was the favorite. They are now back to a slight underdog. What do your numbers have on this game? And have you bet Oklahoma and Alabama?
Yeah, my numbers reflect not a lot of value. In fact, if this was just a game that was played on a normal Saturday, I wouldn't have a bet on it. But obviously, we're talking, well, we're down to the stretch run here. We're only a few games left. At least I don't have to question motivation, who's going to opt out, who's going to play, who isn't in one of these games. What I prefer now, since they have flipped to a dog, is I prefer the Alabama side. I go back to the first matchup. I bet Oklahoma. I loved Oklahoma. Oklahoma was my favorite bet of that particular week. With that being said, I don't even think, you know, Oklahoma won the game outright, but I think Alabama not only should have won, they should have covered the game, outgained, you know, Oklahoma by nearly 200 yards. I think the adjusted scoring margin on that one was close to like 12 points. I don't need to tell you this, but I think the post-game win expectancy was Alabama 95%, and you know, had they won the game, you and I would be much more happier individuals right now.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with that Alabama-Oklahoma game. I think getting Jam Miller back at running back has to help that Alabama rush attack, which was so feeble against Georgia. Now, getting a lot of guys back, although I will say Oklahoma's going to be healthier as well. I don't like either team to make a run. I'm not a big fan of either team. I don't think either one is like a top six or seven team. But I'll lean Alabama plus the points. Haven't done anything with the total. It's such a, I mean, obviously, you look at both teams' profile for the last, you know, 4 weeks, and how could you bet an over? How could you bet an over at any point right now, looking at these bowl games, how they turned out so far? But it's just, when you're dealing with a total so low, it doesn't take much, like a pick six a la the first game, to go over a total. So I don't expect to be involved there.
Yeah, the first game was 23-21. It did go under, but that was a total of 46.5. And now, as you pointed out, we're looking at 40.5 at DraftKings, 41 market wide there. So I'll mention to you the same stat I mentioned to Matt just a moment ago. You mentioned the 95% postgame win expectancy per Bill Conley. He tweeted out that was the fifth least likely win of the entire college football season based off his numbers. So just another thing to make you Notre Dame fans happy about how that game played out on November 15th. Speaking of Notre Dame, Brad, the two teams that beat the Irish, Miami and Texas A&M, they go toe-to-toe on Saturday afternoon in College Station. You and I were talking on VSiN Primetime last week, and I said I did bet the under. Well, I didn't think the market would move this much. It's down to 48.5, 48, but we haven't really seen much movement on the spread. It did open at some places, I think 5, 5.5 in favor of A&M. Now you're looking at 3.5. Maybe threes are going to start showing up. Circa's at a 3. We'll start with the side here first. What do you make of Miami and A&M from a side standpoint?
Haven't bet the side yet. I guess I could understand a little bit of the Miami money. With that being said, though, I'm kind of waiting patiently for threes to become more widely available. My preference would be laying the 3 with A&M. What are my thought process there? Number one, it's a coaching mismatch. I think Mike Elko is a much better head coach than Mario Cristobal. I also, here we are, playoffs. I'm worried, how is Miami going to handle the atmosphere? They haven't played in front of more than 67,000 people all year. There's going to be 107,000 people at Kyle Field. I know it's an early start time, but I do expect a very amped crowd. People are going to, here's Mr. Negative again. I'm not a big fan of either team. I think both are a little bit overrated due to relatively soft strength of schedules. Obviously, both did beat Notre Dame. I would argue, obviously, that was probably both teams' signature wins of the seasons. Texas A&M finally played somebody and got exposed in the regular season finale. I mean, that was the only team with a winning record in SEC play that they faced. Miami, I mean, they did lose to SMU last time they made a decent, road trip to somebody that was capable. And the Louisville game. I'm going to lean A&M, but again, not a high value pick. And again, the winner of the game is going to get beat in the next round, and probably badly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, of the four teams that we've already discussed, Alabama, Oklahoma, Miami, Texas A&M, winner of Alabama, Oklahoma plays Indiana in the Rose Bowl, Miami and Texas A&M go and face Ohio State. Either any of those four teams you think would be, I know it's all number dependent, but any of those four teams to you of interest from a dog roll in the next round?
Probably not. I will say the SEC mind won't be able to handle the Indiana spread. They won't be able to comprehend it because it's going to be a touchdown.
Whew. All right, let's get to an SEC team. Tulane and Ole Miss, and what a unique situation we have here with Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss after leading this team to the college football playoff. Looked like most of the staff would follow him. Charlie Weiss Jr. and a bunch of the offensive coaches have returned to help out during the playoff run. 17.5 is where we're at. This is a rematch of a game we got in September. The total in that game was 61. The spread in that game was 12. So we've seen a move to the under and an adjustment to the Ole Miss side. What do you make of this game on Saturday afternoon in Oxford?
I have bet the favor. One of my first bets I made this bowl season was laying the 16.5 with Ole Miss. Still would lean that way. Obviously shop around. I think 17 still playable. Anytime you're laying a big favorite, you got to ask yourself, what's the motivation for margin? I think they have it. I mean, I expect them to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder for Lane, leaving them behind, thinking that they might not be a national title contending program. I like that most of the staff's going to be there, obviously OCDC, although they will miss Lane calling plays, especially the next round against Georgia. And I go back to that first matchup. Not all 35-point wins are created equal. In that one, it was a legit 35-point win. I mean, they outgained Tulane by nearly 300 yards. It's not like Tulane. I'm not a big fan of either of these G5 teams making the playoffs. I'm not opposed to G5 teams making a playoff, but Reality is I don't even have Tulane in the top 50 in my power ratings. I like their head coach, John Summerall, but the reality is he's leaving. So has he spent the last 2-3 weeks solely focused on this game? The answer is no. So I don't see it. I expect a better atmosphere, certainly, than the first go around. I mean, it should be a juiced up crowd. So I like the favorite. Still playable for me.
Yeah, 17's out there. Circa has it. Westgate Superbook has it. So look around there. And we talked about it briefly with Matt. Wes Reynolds played the first half, -9.5. I think I might jump like on that as well. You could see Ole Miss. Speaking of Ole Miss, you kind of alluded to it. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, and both him and I were joking, you know, we could get Ole Miss to blow out Tulane would maybe be nice. What do you expect from a point spread, and would you be looking to back Georgia in that quarterfinal, knowing that, you know, this is a situation that this Ole Miss staff has not really been in before, where you're going to have to make those adjustments after one game into another?
Anything under a touchdown, I'll be looking to back Georgia, and I think we'll probably get it. I think Georgia was, only favored by 7 or so, 8, at home against Ole Miss the first go-around. So, you know, there's some look-ahead stuff out there at a few books. I think we're going to get an advantageous number. I'll just put it that way. That's what I'm kind of waiting for.
All right, lastly, let's go to Autzen Stadium Saturday night. We got Oregon and JMU. This number got up to 21.5. I was happy. I'm like, all right, going to get CLV. Then it came back down. I'm like, man, I guess, what am I missing here? The number still sits at 21. I get it. You have the potential of a backdoor if you take the favorite here. Is Oregon going to be motivated for margin? You just mentioned that with Ole Miss. What do your numbers pop out for Oregon and James Madison on Saturday? We have seen some under money hit the market as this total is down to 47.5.
My best bet, if you need one, would be Oregon. There's a variety of ways I'm going to attack this. I already attacked it. I laid, you know, one of the first bets I made was Oregon -20.5. 21, in my opinion, still playable. Oregon first half is worthy of a bet. And I think Oregon team total over is worth a bet. Even with that under money coming in, give me over 34.5. Are you kidding me? I even find maybe some 33.5 out there. I like that. Keep in mind, Oregon coming off, in my opinion, their two biggest wins of the season, beating SC and Washington. And the fact that they did it without arguably their top three wide receivers, I think is a good sign for them making a deep playoff run. And I'm expecting it here for Oregon. So we'll see if Evan Stewart plays, but he hasn't played it all year. He was practicing last we checked. More importantly, DeCorian Moore and Gary Bryan Jr. were practicing, and I expect to play. So I think that'll be an extra, you know, push for that Oregon offense to maybe get some margin here. We got a JMU team that, you know, nice story, but probably not worthy of being in the playoffs as far as I'm concerned. Love their coach, but again, they've only faced one team in the top 50 in my power rankings. It was Louisville, a team not even in my top 25. They lost by 14. They did play tough in that game, but this is Autzen. They haven't played in front of more than, 27,000 people? And now you're going to Autzen Stadium at night? Come on, get out of here. So the atmosphere, crowd, environment probably be too much for them to handle. And we got another coach here that, you know, is leaving. Has he been 100% focused on this game? No, he's, you know, coach at UCLA. So I like Oregon quite a bit.
Will James Madison be able to run the ball? I know we've seen some teams have a little bit of success running the football against Oregon. I wouldn't say they're elite on a defensive front from a run stop standpoint. Their secondary is nasty. And maybe Oregon's just going to sell out to stop the run and Wayne Knight. Do you think James Madison can have success on the ground?
Obviously, that's what they're going to have to go to. I like Knight, their running back. Obviously, got a mobile quarterback. But like you alluded to, if I'm Oregon, I got to feel comfortable that my corners can lock them down one-on-one, stack the line of scrimmage, and if, you know, Barnett beats him over the top a couple times, then so be it. I don't think he's capable of doing it, though. So, but, you know, I probably their best play will be a quarterback scramble. You know, last I checked, they got some pretty good edge guys. They can probably keep him contained. I'm expecting a full blowout, and I expect guys like you and me to be like really on Twitter on Saturday night being, why did we just witness? why was it Notre Dame, Texas, BYU, Vanderbilt? Why weren't those teams playing instead of these two G5 teams?
Yeah, I don't want to. I've got friends who went to, it's a lovely place, James Madison.
I visited there. I love it there. I just don't want to see him playing for the national championship at the expense of legit teams.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you're traveling 2,600 miles, too. It's a hell of a travel situation. It's going to be a geeked up environment. So glad to hear that you and I are on the same wavelength there. With Oregon laying the chalk. I don't think you have best bets on them, but I am curious. We do have the semifinals in the FCS. Boy, it has been a wild FCF playoffs. And I've seen some people on Twitter, see, the FCS is having upsets. Okay, all right, relax, people. But I'm pumped to see Brawl in the Wild Part 2. We've got Montana State taking on Montana. Right now, it looks like the Bobcats are about a 5.5-point home favorite. What do we make of the first of the two semifinals on Saturday in the FCS?
Yeah, I bet Montana State, they took a little bit of money in the market today as the limits opened up a little bit, a few more books posted. I bet him in the first go around a few weeks ago. I mean, that was like one of my favorite plays of the week, late 2.5, thought 3 was still playable. They ended up winning by 3. Thought they were legit better, probably should even won by a little bit more than that. You know, the home away dichotomy is pretty large as it gets at this level, as far as these two home atmospheres. So, I think Montana State, you know, the last couple of years has been right there with North Dakota State as, you know, the second best team at that level, barely lost the national championship game last year. Tough of me, you know, back in team, hey, beating a really good team twice in a 3 weeks, a month span, but that's what I'm calling for. I like their run game, the consistency. Montana's defense at times leaves a little bit to be desired.
Now, Villanova does have the Pope on their side, so I don't know if that weighs into your handicap on this game, but Illinois State, what a story they have been. They went to the Fargo Dome, won as, you know, a 23-24-point underdog, turned the ball over 5 times. Their travel this postseason has been wild. This game will be played, you know, outside of Philly at Villanova. Villanova, a slight home dog in this one against the Redbirds of Illinois State.
I'm going to pose a question to you. Are you familiar with the 2005 Notre Dame-Purdue game?
2000? Yes, I am. 2005.
Yeah, 2005.
Was that the game? No, I am not off the top of my head.
Okay. The ranked-on-ranked matchup is that night. It was probably the most famous thing from that game was the Ron Franklin. You know, it's not trying hard. It's 49-21, sweetheart. That quote came from there. Also, there's a meme. Before there was memes, there was a clip of Purdue's defensive coordinator, like totally like, huh, what? Brock Spack? He's been the head coach at Illinois, and this is where I'm going with this. He's still the head coach at Illinois State for like the last 15 years. Done a good job, you know, a lifer in that area of the country. I thought they, you know, should have beaten North Dakota State by more, one of the more stunning finals in the history of the sport as far as the FCS playoffs go. With that being said, I'm about a half point away from having a pretty big bet fading Illinois State. I don't mind what, you know, as good as Illinois State's been, I don't know if they deserve, from a statistical profile, I know they played a tougher schedule, but laying 3 on the road against a Villanova team that's just been just as impressive as Illinois State, I'm going to lean with the home dog here.
All right. Anything from a bowl standpoint? It's so tricky. You're getting opt-outs every second. So it's just hard for these numbers to kind of stay true, you know, when you get opt-outs. You know, we talked Cal-Hawaii. That game has moved a little bit. Not too many opt-outs there. When you look further down the board, Brad, is there anything that you're betting right now or anticipating maybe an opt-out here in the future that you're hoping to get some CLV on?
You know, I'm going to give you a couple that I'm actually going to fade some of the steam. I don't mind Louisville against Toledo. I think there's a substitute, definite substitute teacher at Toledo. Head coach gone, defensive coordinator gone. I think from all intents and purposes, it looks like Miller Moss is going to play. Not that he's great, but the backup to him was terrible. But he's, you know, they put him out in front of the media and a lot of the other guys for Louisville. I know they're going to have a lot of guys out, but I just think they're far and away superior to Toledo, where I'm laying less than a touchdown. Brown locked in against an interim. Come on, Louisville -6.5 for me. And the other one for me, I'm going to fade Miami of Ohio. I think very, you know, under the radar, their transfer portal. Best offensive player, their wide receiver, all MAC. Best defensive player, the defensive end, Adam Trick, both in the portal. Some other guys in the portal for them. I think Fresno State takes care of business there.
I will be on the sidelines for the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl on Bowl Season Radio. So hopefully it's not too much of a blowout for that game. Miami did play in that bowl game, too, a year ago. So that's always
kind
impressive. I know they whooped up on Colorado State, but a very veteran team a year ago and not the case this year. And the bizarre situation of Daquan Finn leaving the team as well. Brad, always appreciate your time, man. And follow Brad on Twitter at BradPower7. Enjoy the bowl season and best of luck with your bets.
Thanks for having me.
There he is, Brad Powers. That's going to do it for this episode of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Thanks to Wyatt, thanks to Ryan Hunter, and thanks to Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.